Hi, Chris Ann Hall here, constitutional attorney, and I've got three things that I need to talk to you about today. What about these allegations, these rampant allegations of anti-Semitism in our universities? When did this happen? How did this occur? We're going to talk about that today. Do you have any idea how much of your money is going to foreign countries every single year? I don't think you do, but I'm going to show you the website where you can find out. And the third thing that I want to talk to you about is we have experts now, experts that are coming forward and telling you what we've been telling you for years, that our infrastructure system sucks, and it is a national security problem. We're going to be talking about these three things today, and I'm not only going to be showing you the problems, but I'm going to give you the solutions. For real, the solutions. So stick with me, and we'll be back after the intro. Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisannHall.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome here. Chris Ann Hall, constitutional attorney. Before we get started, I want you to partner with us to help bring this education, this constitutional education to our government employees, our sheriffs, our deputies, our state legislators, our county commissioners. You know what I teach. You know I teach truth. And you know what we teach, what we bring changes these people's lives. You can do that by partnering with us and getting our Chris Ann Hall Liberty First coffee beans. These are fresh roasted coffee beans, medium roast, dark roast, available to you at chrisannhall.com. Remember, a coffee loses 75% of its flavor 15 minutes after it's ground. That's why to get true coffee flavor, just like you get true constitutional truth here, you've got to buy the bean. Our beans are freshly roasted and they are amazing. I know I have the coffee every morning now, Chris Ann Hall, Liberty First Coffee. Go to chrisannhall.com, partner with us and help us bring this truth everywhere. And then you get to be a part of it too, because that's really important, being a part of the solutions and not just simply complainers of the problems. That's what we always try to do here. It's really amazing because inevitably when I post things on social media, when I bring people the facts, there is inevitably one or two, some of them regulars, you know who you are, that are always on my social media going, well, that's really great, Christine, but what are you doing? Hello, you've been living under a rock. Are you new to my page? Okay, 260 meetings every year, 7 years straight in 22 states, right? Every year for 7 years straight. We vacation at home 4 days a month. 6 books. I am on news programs every week. We're doing court TV now, which is really awesome, on a regular basis. That's sort of my fun me time, where I get to slip on the attorney hat and talk about things that are happening in the courtrooms. Very cool. If you're a courtroom wonk or a legal nerd, you know what court TV is, and I love being on there. It's a whole lot of fun. Thanks to Joe, who is the person who gets me on there every week. I'm very grateful for that. There is also the books that we've written, online programs, libertyfirstsociety.com. So many solutions we put out there for you. But this podcast, which I don't get to do as often as I usually do because we also have a nonprofit law firm and there are only so many hours in the day, right? Only so many hours in the day. And so I get into this studio as often as I can with Christian back there driving the ship. Everybody give Christian a round of applause. You need an applause button over there, Christian. Give yourself a round of applause. He's like, I do have it somewhere. But I want to talk to you today about three very important things. three very important things that I think you need to know, not only to have a real good concept of what is going on, but understanding there are solutions to these problems. America's not lost. That's like the most ridiculous thing I hear all the time. America's lost. We're done. It's over. We need to blah, 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 blah. And the other thing that I hear all the time is, oh, we should just pray. That's all we can do is pray. Come on, guys. I'm a Christian. I am a Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled Christian. And I know that faith without works is dead. Okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about our praying Christian spectators of life. But I want to talk to you about these three things today. So there are three things that we are going to address today. We are going to talk about all the billions, yes, billions with a B, that go to foreign countries, billions be your billions be, that go to foreign countries around the world every single year. I'm not even going to tell you how much that is. I'm going to tell you where you find that information. You can go on your own research journey through the website, and I'm going to give you that website, but I'm also going to tell you what we need to do to stop that. What we need to do to get our politicians focus back on America. Now, I think related to that topic, yet topic number two, is these new recent, as I roll my eyes, reports that our infrastructure is failing, that our electrical grid is in such a terrible condition that it's a national security threat. How do we fix that? Well, in reality, problem number one, your billion B's going to other countries, our failing infrastructure, are both solved in the very same way. I'm going to give you those solutions, guys. Everybody wants me to tell them what to do. How about if I just tell you what to do? If you do this, I guarantee this will work. Okay? And then we're going to talk about all these accusations of anti-Semitism in our universities. What does that really mean? Where are these accusations coming from? Is this new? How did this happen? Are there really anti-Semites in our universities? Well, how about we start with the money that's going to these foreign countries? Now, I have fed to Christian this website, and I'm going to give it to you now. It is called foreignassistance.gov. Foreignassistance.gov. Now, if you're at your laptop or if you're at your phone, you can actually do this while you're listening to me. That will be fun. If not, go later. Foreignassistance.gov. Go to foreignassistance.gov and then down up by the dashboard, there are many things you can do. There's a up in the upper right-hand part of the website, you have all these little categories you can choose. Now, I've chosen by a country. And when you choose by a country, just pick Afghanistan. And then it's going to open up to you the page, the whole outline of all of your billion dollars that we send to Afghanistan every single year. Since 2001, by the way. Now, you can do the country at a glance and you can do all these things. Now, if you look at the upper left-hand corner, where you see the little the word Afghanistan and the map, the flag of Afghanistan, there's also a little pull-down carrot. Click on that little pull-down carrot. Did you do that, Christian? Mm-hmm. All right. You can see all the countries. Just sort of, Christian, slowly scroll down. Check it out, guys. It's alphabetical. It is alphabetical. You can literally click on any country and find out where we're sending billions B's dollars. Here we go, Cambodia. We send $142 million to Cambodia in 2022. Now, what's interesting is that for some countries, we haven't even reported all the money we've sent for 2022, 2023, and nobody knows how much money we're going to send in 2024. Because what's very interesting is that we send money, right? We send money and we allocate money. If you go to the top there, Christian, go back to, if you have moved off Afghanistan, go to Afghanistan again and go to the little menu. Do you see there at the top that says obligations? You see that at the top, Christian? Right above the flow chart of all the money, there's 2022 fiscal year, then obligations, and then all agencies. Do you see that across the banner there? Okay. Pull down the thing that says, oh, yours probably said distributions. Okay. All right. So if it says distributions, pull it down. You will see that it says obligations. And you can see how much we have obliged ourselves to send to Afghanistan in this year, which was 2022, that's operating. Then switch over to disbursements. This is how much money we actually sent to Afghanistan. We actually sent nearly $1.9 billion to Afghanistan in 2022. So you see, what we promised was $500 million less than what we actually sent. So do a little survey there, guys. Spend a little time seeing how much money we send to every single country in the world. Check this out, Christian. Go to that pull-down menu where you get to pick the countries. Remember what a bad guy China is, okay? Remember what a bad guy China is. Christian, click on China. So in 2022, we sent $11 million of your money to China. $11 million to our enemy. That's what we're supposed to believe. Now, look at this chart. It's not even a fully reported year. We don't even know how much we disbursed. We promised them. Go to the obligations. Did you pull down the obligations tab there in China? Okay. We promised China $2.2 million in 2022. I want you to digest that slightly. We promised China $2.2 million in 2022, and we've already, now these are partial numbers, already disbursed $10.6. We promised $2.2, but we've already disbursed $10.6. Now, please do tell. Your money, guys. And we're supposed to believe these people are our enemies? We have sent $10.6 million to China. What for? To support ethnic Tibetan activity. To support Mekong safeguards. Sustainable Manufacturing Alliance in Mekong. Oh, here we go. Miscellaneous goods services. $721,000. Now we send that to the Chinese government and they promise us that they're going to spend this money on these things, right? So what if China takes, I don't know, what do we've got here? 4, 5, 6, 6.1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10. Okay, $4 million for Tibetan, to support ethnic Tibetan activity. Even if China promises us that's what they actually spent it on, then that just clears up $4 million for them to spend on something else, like sending people to America, funding their businesses in America, incentives for our politicians to send more money to China. Why are we sending 10 million? Okay, here's the question. Why are we sending 8 million more than we promised to China? Because somebody in our government is actually sending it. Why are all these billions of your dollars going to other countries? Because Congress allocated them. You see, the difference between disbursements and obligations. The obligations are the things your congressmen have promised. The disbursements are things that have come out of discretionary funds. First off, you have to ask why you have a government that operates with $8 million of discretionary funds, and that's just one country. I mean, I showed you back, if you go back to Afghanistan, Christian, and you go to the obligations, Congress has allocated $1.4 billion to Afghanistan. They have sent, which is a partially recorded year of 2022, $1.9 billion, right? So how is it that our government for one country operates with $6 billion extra dollars that have no place to go, discretionary funding? Don't just think about this money being your money being sent. Think about it as your congressman saying it's okay to take your money and send it to these places. I want to challenge you to spend a few minutes this afternoon, this evening, whenever you have a chance. And I mean, it's Friday, whenever you have a chance to go through and just look at all these things. Look at all of your money that's going to other countries. See how many of those countries are being, you're being told are our enemies. How many of those countries are their leaders engaging in humanitarian violations? How many of those countries still have slavery, who have caste systems, who are engaging in humanitarian abuses of their people, and yet we send your money there? What about this question about our infrastructures, right? Throw up that picture now, Christian. Panelists warn of winter weather's national security risks. As U.S. defense facilities face rising outage risks, regional transmission could help, a core panel. Conversations with national security community conclude the U.S. power grid is not reliable, said Jonathan Monken, a principal at Converge Strategies. There, I've shown you his little picture there. Speakers on an ACOR webinar warned that the national security risks of electricity outages at military bases is unprecedented. Unprecedented. So the first thing, you want to talk about solutions here, right? Step number one. We have to realize this is a problem. We have to realize we have a problem. We have to realize the magnitude of the problem. You have a national you have a whole panel of people talking about how we are at a national security risk. We are ill-fitted to defend ourselves from a major attack. We must realize we have a problem. We are over $33 trillion in debt. Over $33 trillion. The economists, now we're talking about just obligations. We're not talking about disbursements. And we're not talking about money that never makes it to that part of the budget because it's already allocated, like Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. All of these debts are not factored into that $33 trillion debt figure. So most economists who are really teaching you the truth will tell you that our debt is like $200 trillion and growing. All the money. So we're $33 trillion in debt without any sign of stopping, and it doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat. They're all spending more. Johnson, your new House Speaker, he's not stopping any spending. He's running around arguing why we need to spend more in certain countries. And I can't keep up. One day he says we need to fund this. The next day he says we don't need to fund this. And another time we need to fund this. And then we need to do this so we can't fund this. I can't keep up with that dude. He flip-flops more than a fish on the beach. Christian chuckles because he knows he likes to go fishing. He knows what I'm talking about. $200 trillion in debt, enslaving our children, and no sign of any side of any party slowing. We are seemingly unprepared, woefully incapable of defending ourselves from any kind of major attack. And we continue to send debt-backed funding all over the world while our infrastructure collapses. I want you to really gather that, okay? We've got panelists telling us that we don't have an electrical infrastructure system to even keep our military bases from shutting down over the winter. Now, mind you, they could be telling you all of this because they want you to drive you to solar power or wind power or some other ridiculous, unsustainable power substitute. But if you take them at their word, this is what they're telling you. While cities around the world upgrade and build their infrastructure for the future, our government is borrowing money to buy bullets and bombs, not to build, but to destroy. That's where we are. So, how do we fix this? Well, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth the nation and sin is a reproach to any people. It is time for our government to righteously start stewarding our land, our people, our resources. It is time to stop borrowing from our children's futures and sending them to other countries. We have to stop funding debt and destruction. That's how we got to do this. So I have three things that we can do to get started off on the right foot. I told you I was going to give you the solutions. Here's the solutions. Are you ready? How do we get our infrastructure back building up? How do we stop sending billions to other countries every year? Which is the same thing, right? How do we get our politicians focused back on our communities instead of foreign powers? You see, that's the real problem, isn't it? No focus on domestic. All this focus on foreign. Well, how do we stop that? Well, I got three things we can do. Number one, stop allowing foreign corporations in America that are shielded by American shell companies to make campaign contributions. I'm going to repeat that for you, Heaven. Stop allowing foreign corporations in America that are shielded by American shell companies from making campaign contributions. You have foreign companies that come here that hire American corporations, American lawyers, to create shell companies in America, seemingly owned by Americans, but they're not. If you are a foreign corporation, whether you're shielded by an American shell company or not, you should not be allowed to make campaign donations. Step number two, limit all campaign donations to the district in which the candidate is running. No more out-of-state, out-of-district donations. only donations from people that will be represented directly by the person who's running for office. No more out-of-state, out-of-district donations. Every candidate can only be donated to by the district they're running in, the state. If they're running for Senate, then they can collect from the whole state. If they're running from Congress, they can only collect from their district. If they're running for mayor, they can only collect donations from their city. That's campaign reform, guys. That's not going to bother any First Amendment issues. That's not going to bother any freedom of speech issues. Because this is about representative government. And we don't have it anymore because we got money coming in from all over the frickin' place. You want campaign reform? That's the campaign reform you need. Then here's step number three. This is Christian going to probably tick some people off, but step number three. Stop. Did you hear that word? Stop. Stop all foreign travel by people who hold office while they're in office unless it is an officially sanctioned, constitutionally authorized government business. Stop all foreign travel by anyone who is elected to office while they're in office, unless it's for officially sanctioned, constitutionally authorized government activity. We can't go on vacation to France. Nope, you can't. Sorry. You see, holding office is supposed to be a privilege and require sacrifice. Holding office is not an obligation, and it's not a place where people kowtow to you, give you every whim, and make you rich. There are sacrifices that must be made for you to run for office, and a sacrifice needs to be while you're holding office as mayor, as governor, as house rep. If you're a federal judge, while you're serving in government office, you cannot engage in foreign travel unless it's officially sanctioned, constitutionally authorized government business. I'm talking about, how do we stop all this foreign influence? How do we stop sending money to Iran? Because we've been sending money to Iran. It's like six, that was their money. We unfroze. Okay, let's set aside that money that we quote unquote unfroze. Where did that money come from the beginning? How about all the money we've been sending to Iran? Nobody's talking about that. How do we stop sending money there? Okay, then we stop allowing our people in office to be influenced by foreign money. So we got to stop the ways that it can get to them. And that's my solution. Now, the last thing that we're going to talk about today is all these allegations of teachers in universities suddenly, magically anti-Semitic. Now, until we realize, until we admit that these university professors are actually expressing Marxist ideology built on the premise of tearing down, destroying Western culture and all who support it. This is not just about anti-Semitism. Listen closely to the arguments they make. They'll say, Palestinians are the oppressed, and Israel is the oppressor. That's not anti-Semitism, my friend. That is Marxism. Everyone who engages by these ideologues, anyone who engages in any kind of Western ideological culture is an oppressor, is a conqueror, is a colonial, engaging in colonialism, and everybody else is an oppressor. I'm not going to get into the whole real statistics of how there are more people, that are Muslim than Jews in that area, that there is a larger population in Palestine than there is in Israel. We're not going to get into those statistics. You can go look those up yourself. I want you to know, until we realize these professors are not speaking just anti-Semitism, this is Marxism, whose goal is not just simply to destroy Israel, but to destroy every Western ideological culture. Any culture in the world that operates on Western ideology must be destroyed by the tenets of Marxism. Until we admit or realize that the American government education system was created in the mid-1800s. The government education system in America was created to be a Marxist infiltrator. Until we admit that, both those things. This is not anti-Semitism. This is Marxism. That our government education system was actually created as a Trojan horse to allow Marxism to invade America? Go read my article, chrisannhall.com. Christian put my website up there, chrisannhall.com. I think it's up here too. Read my article, Stolen Education, Stolen Children, Stolen Future. I don't know if Christian can put it up there. Just go to the website real quick and find the article, Stolen Education, Stolen Children, Stolen Future. But even if you can't, you can. Just go to chrisannhall.com. Click the search engine. Type Stolen Education. The article will come up, Stolen Education, Stolen Children, Stolen Future. And you can actually read how the government education system in America was designed to bring a Marxist takeover of America. That's the truth. And I have the documents to prove it. ChrisAnnHall.com, Stolen Education, Stolen Children, Stolen Future, right there for you. Okay? So until we realize this is Marxism, not just anti-Semitism, until we realize that our government education system was designed to do exactly what our professors are doing, this is not a mistake. This is not an accident. This is not some mysterious alien voodoo spiritual takeover of our universities. This is a designed takeover from the mid-1800s of when our schools, our compulsory education system, and the rewriting of our textbooks began in the 1800s. So what do we have to do? We have to take back the education of our children and our universities. We have to stop sending our children to government-funded schools. I mean, I know it's simple. I didn't say it was going to be easy, but it is simple. If we do not take back the education of our children, if we do not rescue our children from the government education system, we will never stop this destruction of America. We may slow down the decline, but we will never stop it. You will never stop billions of dollars going to foreign countries if we do not rescue our children from these governmental these governmental institutions. There should be no excuse at this point for us to send our children to these places. Homeschooling is so easy these days. You don't even have to teach your children to homeschool. Everything is done online. LibertyFirstSociety.com. Just go click on there. LibertyFirstSociety.com. Go and click on there. Homeschool. Boom. We are actually in the process of creating brand new homeschool aid tools for our parents that we will have out after the first of the year. Never been easier to homeschool. Send your child to a private school. Churches need to start schools. Can I mention Christian? The Bible told you to train up your children in the way that they should go. It didn't tell government to train up your children in the way that it should go. As a matter of fact, there's plenty of scriptures in the Old Testament about how we're not supposed to yoke our children with unbelievers. How are you going to send your children off to a government school that teaches them all the bad things about your faith and unequally yokes them with unbelievers? The government education system is not designed to be a mission field. And your children are not designed or created by God to be missionaries. You are the missionary. Start a church school. Let your church actually evangelize people. Let your church go door to door. Let your church engage in soul winning. Why are you telling your children that they are to do that in the public schools when you're not even doing it in your neighborhood? Just saying. If we do not take our children out of these schools, we're just doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And the insanity that we're experiencing today is the insanity that you'll get, period. Now, this is a message to my Christian brothers and sisters out there. You are commanded to raise your children up in the ways of the Lord, in the love and admonition of the Lord. You are commanded to train your children in the way that they should go. Who's training your children? If you're sending your children to government schools, your children are being trained in the ways of government. You do not, and I will repeat this, I do not support movements to put the Bible into government schools. That is not the purpose of government schools. That is the purpose of your church. Why don't you talk to your pastor about bringing the Bible back to the pulpit? That is the purpose of the home. Why don't you start your Bible study at your home instead of wanting your public school teacher to do that? Look what the public schools have done to math. You're going to trust your child's spiritual future to a public school teacher? Come on. Plus, if you put the Bible in the schools to train up your children, then you also have to have the Satanic Bible. You also have to have the Quran. You have to have every religion taught in your school. When are they going to have time for reading, writing, and arithmetic like we're stomping our feet about? When are they going to have time for that when they're spending every hour of their day teaching all the religions of the world? Because you cannot teach the Bible in a government tax-funded school without teaching everything else. And by the way, you don't need to put prayer back in the schools. Prayer is already there. Even the federal government's Department of Education lists the rights of the students to engage in prayer, to talk to their classmates about their faith and their religion, to hold Bible studies. This stuff is not missing in your schools. It's missing in your pulpits and missing in your homes. So, we have got to stop being praying spectators in government. All we have to do is pray. Said no Bible ever. There is not a single section in the Bible that says all you have to do is pray. No. Trust and what? Obey. Not trust and pray. Trust and obey. Faith without works is dead. God works through vessels, and he's seen fit to make us those vessels. And if we do not do his work, we are committing a sin. I hate to tell you that. It is sinful for you to do anything less than to be engaged in government. And don't tell me that garbage about Romans 13? Why don't you get out of your modern post-biblical church and start learning what the Bible actually says? Romans 13 does not tell you to be a slave to government. Romans 13 tells you not to do evil. If your government is doing evil, Romans 13 does not command you to follow your government in the pathway of evil. To say otherwise is to call God a liar and a hypocrite, because the Bible is full of God commanding people to disobey government when they're being evil. I'm sorry, you don't know that Bible? Then you need a better church. Just saying. Or you need to start reading your own Bible and stop relying on some seminary-taught ignoramus who doesn't know, who couldn't find his Bible if it was 140 characters or less and highlighted by emojis. I'm just saying. We are Christians. We are commanded to do greater works than Christ himself did. Did Christ just sit around and pray? We are commanded to do greater things than Christ himself did. We are to operate in the power of God. We are to operate in the truth of God. We are to operate in the name of God. There is no other people on this planet that holds the authority to operate in the name of God and the power of God. And if you are not working in the name of God, if you are not working in the power of God, you are committing a sin. I just don't know. It's sinful to do anything less than what God has commanded you to do. He has commanded you to operate in the power and in the name of Jesus, and to do greater works than he did. He commanded Moses to stand against the government. He demanded Paul to stand against the government. He commanded every apostle to stand in front in the face of government. John the Baptist put his finger in Herod's face. You are wicked. You are immoral. The only way we'll bring about change is if we are the light and the salt. But whereas the light lost its shine and the salt lost its savor. So there you have it. How do you want to make things different? How about voting righteousness instead of Republican? Oops, Christian. They're not synonymous, guys. Vote righteousness instead of Republican. And before you get all off my libertarian friends, go, you know, postal and get into an apoplectic fit. I'm not calling for a theocracy here, guys. I'm talking about a constitutional government with people who have a moral compulsion to limited government. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the church being government. Nobody ever heard me say that. That is not what I said. I said constitutionally authorized limited government. That's not going to happen until we vote that way. And that's not going to happen until we know we have a problem and what the solutions are. So there you are, guys. I gave you the problems and the solutions today. I don't want anybody telling me I didn't. Don't forget, guys, go to chrisannhall.com. Get some coffee. Great Christmas presents. We got a special running. Go to chrisannhall.com, click on the store, check out the special that we have for the coffee. Why don't you support Liberty and get your friends some Christmas presents at the same time? I'm not going to guarantee you'll get them by Christmas at this point, but hey, you know what I'm doing? I actually got my son the most cool Christmas present ever, but I don't think it's going to arrive in time. So I'm going to print out a picture and put it in an envelope. And so he gets to open the envelope and he'll see the picture of what he'll get when it arrives. Print out a picture of our coffee and say, look, not only are you going to get this amazing coffee beans, but you're also going to have the knowledge that every time you drink coffee, somebody is getting trained on the Constitution. Sort of like the movie, right? It's a Wonderful Life. Every time you hear a bell ring, an angel gets their wings. Well, how about something more realistic? Every time you drink a cup of coffee, somebody's getting trained on the Constitution. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that I have given you some inspiration, some ideas on how to move forward. How can you make these solutions become a reality? Well, I can't answer that question for you. You've got to find out where your role is in this. I can't give you your calling. That's not my job. I can't tell you what you need to do. That's not my job. But I can give you the solutions, and you can be in prayer, and you can be in meditation, you can be in whatever you do to find your place in these solutions. But I guarantee you, 100%, there is a place for you to act in progress of these solutions. Thank you, Christian, for all your help with me today. Thank you guys for watching. Christian and I would have nothing to do if you weren't out there. We are ever so grateful for you. Thank you to all of you who help and sponsor us. Don't forget, as we come to the end of the year, we always need help with our law firm, libertyfirst.legal. That is a tax-deductible donation. Donate there, and we do work all over the country and all over the world. Thank you so much. God bless, and I will see you at our next time.
One thing to realize, there's something that needs to be done. But there's a whole nother thing in knowing what it takes to stand. You've got to count the cost. The only way you can do that is if you are filled with truth and filled with courage.